Für Schuss, durch die Schiebe, all the Chabi and Holle, and all those that are gathered here. We've come together at very difficult times, very painful times for many in Klal Yisrael. And everyone's required to feel with, to be concerned, to daven, to be noisiboil. The mere fact itself that we're coming together to strengthen ourselves and to think about our response, like the Rosh Yeshiva said, and what we're meant to be thinking, what we're meant to be doing now, is in itself a tremendous source of protection and can be very helpful that each and every one of us should make it through properly, Be'ezah Hashem. As we know, the Navi Daniel, in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, discusses the time period we're experiencing now. And the Navi says, Bahoya Be'ezahu will be at those times before the coming of Mashiach, Yimalit Amcha, Kol Animtze Kosev Batsefer. The Navi Daniel says, when he's describing the turbulent times, the difficult times, and the wars that are taking place prior to the coming of Mashiach, he says, who are the ones that are going to be saved from the great sorrows that we experience in this time period? Says the Navi, Kol Animtze Kosev Batsefer. Whoever is written down in the book, so to speak, literally. Those are the ones which we merit to be saved from all the tzoras, from all the hardships that we experience in this time period. Rav Tzadja Goyin and the other Rishonim there on the Psukim quote him. He says, which book is the Navi Daniel referring to? How does one merit to be written down in this book? And Rav Tzadja Goyin explains that it's referring to the book which is mentioned at the end of Navi Malachi, when the Navi Malachi describes the last period before the Gula, which concludes with the pasuk that we're all waiting for. Hine anoichi shalech lachem es Eliyahu ha-Navi, v'heishiv leivavos ha-banim v'leibanim al avosam. Everyone will come back home. Families will be united. United in Gashmias, united physically, united in Ruchnias. But a few psukim before that, after the Navi describes how people are going to think, and people may even speak out, that it seems shav avoyde lekim umabetsa kishamanu masecho, people will speak harshly, so to speak, against the Ribbono Shel'olam, against those that keep the Torah, and people which are learning themselves, people which are keeping the Torah themselves, may have feelings at time that we see that we're suffering so much. Was it really worth it? Why are we going through all these things that are happening? And the Navi says in response to this, Oz Bidbu Yire Hashem Ishareyu V'yakshiv Hashem V'yishma V'yikosiv V'sefer Zikoren L'fonav L'yire Hashem L'choy Shveishmoy. The Navi says then, in response to these questions, to these discussions, Nidbru Yire Hashem Yishareyu. Yire Hashem, those that fear Hashem, are going to speak to each other. And they're going to mechazik each other. They're going to strengthen each other. And Vayakshiv Hashem Vayishma. And the Ribbono Shel'olam listens to these discussions. And as a result of that, the Yekosev, the Sefer Zikaron Lefanov, the Ribbono Shel'olam writes this down in a Sefer Zikaron, so to speak. The Chofetz Chaim quotes a Medrash in Rus that says, who are the ones that write in this book? None other than Eliyahu HaNavi HaMelech HaMashiach. They're the ones that write down the names of the people which are Mekayim, this Pasuk of Oznidvur Yir Hashem Yishareyu. So Rav Tzadja Goyin is explaining to us that when the Navi Daniel says they will be confronted with these difficult tzoris, all the words and the tzoris that we're confronted with before Mashiach, the way to be saved is through meriting to be written down in this book. And the way to be written down in this book by none other than Eliyahu HaNavi Melech HaMashiach is by coming together to be mechazik ourselves, to be nisoyer, to figure out the response and what we're meant to be thinking and what we're meant to be doing. And that's our zoicha, to be saved. And that's our greatest assurance when we're looking for ways to save ourselves. Because there is no way, al piteva, that we could save ourselves. The only way we could save ourselves is through doing what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us at this time, from listening to what the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us to do at this time. And the first thing that we have to do, and what we're doing right now, is coming together for chizuk, coming together for service, coming together for guidance, to figure out what we're meant to be doing, what our response is supposed to be now. And the truth is, it connects with the Parshas HaShavua too, what we're doing now. As we're familiar, Yaakov Avinu tells his children before he's nifter, Hey Osru Vagida Lachem, Hey Sashayikra Eschem Ba'achus Hayomim. Yaakov Avinu says, gather together, come together, and I'm going to tell you what's going to transpire Ba'achus Hayomim. Yaakov Avinu, the Av of Klal Yisrael, the Av that was Maimed Shiftei Kor, which brought about the whole future of Klal Yisrael. Before he's lifter, what's he concerned with? He's concerned with us. He's concerned with giving over what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael Ba'achus Hayomim, what's going to happen in the final moments before the coming of Mashiach. And Yaakov Avinu tells them to gather together. Why does he tell them to gather together? But as we know, Chazal tell us that one of the things Yaakov Avinu wanted to do at that moment was reveal to his children the time of the Gula, Pinkish Yaakov, Legalis, and Sakets. And the Ribbono Shel Olam took it away from him. And as the Mefarshim explained, the reason is because being that the time of the Kates was so far away, the Ribbono Shel Olam was concerned that if Klal Yisrael would know that they would have to wait so long for the Gula, then people would become miyuyish. People would throw in the towel. They'll be disheartened. They would give up on remaining firm in Yiddishkeit because they're going to be in Golis for so long anyways, and they have nothing to look forward to. But based on that, the Ramban says already in the Sefer HaGula that as we get closer to the Kates, we have to understand the Kates, and we have to look for signs and figure out where we stand, because at this point, we have to use it as a motivation to bring us, to draw us closer, to recognize where we stand and do what we could and do what we're able to do. So we should be amongst those that merit to see the Gula, to experience it, to be part of it. But when Yaakov Avinu saw that the Ribbono Shel Olam took away from him the revelation of the case, Yaakov Avinu was concerned, maybe there's something wrong with his children, Chas v'Shalom. Shema yesh psul bezarei. Maybe his children aren't worthy of knowing these secrets. And the children answered him, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. His children said, no, we proclaim and we say with certainty, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We understand the concept of Yichud Hashem. We understand the concept that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the only one and the only power in the world and the one that controls everything, the one that decides everything, the one that governs everything, the one that's behind everything. And the reason why you lost the knowledge of the case, so to speak, for that moment, and he wasn't able to give it over to his children, is not because they were missing something, not because Chas v'Shalom there was something wrong with them. But in the Sefer Charedim, at the end of the Sefer, he says, why did we use the term Shema Yisrael? Shema literally means to listen, to hear, to understand, to accept. But the Charedim says Shema also means a lashon of kibbutz, like Vayisham Ashol Esahom. Shema also means to gather together, to bring together. And the Charedim says what we learned from this pasuk And we learn from Chazal and other places is the importance of coming together, of drawing closer to one another, coming together for a purpose, coming together for the greatest purpose of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, of proclaiming the oneness of Hashem, of recognizing the Ribbono Shel Olam, of understanding that everything comes from Him. And that's another concept that we're doing now. When we come together, when we gather together, with one heart, with one goal, because when we have one goal in mind, there's no period all above us, everyone's together, everyone's focused, because when we're focused on Hashem Echad, and when we're focused on the Torah, which is one, and we're focused on Klal Yisrael, which is one, then there's no room for division. There's no room for machlokes. On the contrary, that brings the greatest achdus, and that brings Ashuas Hashchina, because Echel Leshaya Ela BeEchel LeTacharein brings from the Zohar. That's how we get Ashuas Hashchina, when we're together. So when we come together specifically for this purpose, for Agida Lachem Eseshayikra Eschem BeAchis Hayomim, and we want to be Mekayim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. This is our means to come together. This brings us together. This unites us. And it's through this that Be'ezer Hashem will be safe now and will be zoichet to see the Hashem Echad, the time when the whole world will recognize Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Shu'at Elokeinu, like Rashi explains from Chazal, when we say Kriya Shema, when we say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we're saying the Hashem who's now only recognized by Klal Yisrael. But many have yet to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the future, he's going to be Hashem Echad. He's going to be recognized by all. Oz Eker B'Shem Hashem, Sofer Brua Likra Kule B'Shem Hashem. Like the Novi tells us, when Mashiach comes, all the nations are going to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everyone is going to see Hashem Echad. But because this is so important, and because the Gula depends on this recognition, and we can't be zoichet to hear the kates, to see the kates, until we have Yichud Hashem, until we recognize Yichud Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because of that, sense a lot of confusion throughout the Golis, and particularly before the coming of Mashiach, to test us in this area. Because when we're tested, that's when we come out strong. When we have to fight against something. And when there's other things in mind, and things which could take us away from the emes, could take us away from recognizing the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to work, and we have to see him, and we have to go through all the layers of Hester upon him, through the whole situation of Anoichi Hester, Hester upon him, b'yoyim ahu, like it says the Barachus Hayomim. When there's a double Hester, when it's so difficult to recognize Hashem, it's dafka in this situation where we're required to recognize Hashem. And we could recognize Hashem, but we have to look for him. And when we look for him, we'll find him. And one of the greatest ways to find Hashem and to see through all the darkness is by turning to the Torah HaKadosh and the words of Chazal. Because when we try to look at a situation and experience with our own seichel, with our own eyes, it's very difficult for us to see what's really going on, to understand and how to connect the dots and figure out all the pieces of the puzzle and put them together. But when we have the Torah, when we have the Dvar Hashem, the words of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, that tells us exactly what's going on. It tells us the inner meanings to what's going on, the connection of what's happening, and the purpose of everything that's happening. And the Ramchal says, if we study history, we could see this throughout history, how so many times at certain situations, things looked dark, things looked black, and the end result was it brought the greatest Yeshua, the Kedis Yitzchok, from the Rishonim. He explains in Parshas Vayeshev the whole concept of Yosef and his brothers, who for years were fighting against Yosef. They were trying to hold him back from becoming a melech. And everything that they did to stop him, and all those dark That whole dark period for Yaakov and for Yosef and for all the Shvatim. In the end, they saw in retrospect how that all prepared for the moment where Yosef was going to become the Melech. When Yosef says to his brothers, like he says in Parashas Vayigash, and again in this week's Parasha, that there's nothing to be concerned about, there's nothing to be sad about, because it all came from Hashem, and he was the one that orchestrated all these events. And the same thing says the Akedah. The Ribbono Shel says, I'm paving the way, I'm preparing the seeds for Mashiach, already at the time when the Shvatim sold his brothers, at the time when Yehuda is busy with Tamar. Because the Akedah explains everything that we go through throughout the whole Golis, which looks like it's bringing us further from the Gula. The truth is, it's bringing us closer. And it's only when it will come to the end, when Mashiach will be revealed, that's when we'll understand the retrospect of everything that happened brought us closer to the Gula. And the Ramchal adds another point, and he says, if we look in history, at the time of the Mabul, people were living comfortably. People were enjoying themselves, so to speak. They were running after the evil inclination. They were doing whatever they felt like. And it looked like times were great, so to speak, at least from a secular point of view. And in the end, came the Mabul and washed away the whole world because there was such corruption then. So even though it looked superficially that they were in good times, they really were in terrible times and they were heading into disaster. But he says it's just the opposite. Before the Gula, everything will look dark. There'll be so many tzoras going on, Rachmana Litzlan, difficult situations. And to us, superficially, it looks like it's a time of tzora, it's a dark time period, which it is in this world. In this world, we say dynamis. In this world, we're Menachem Avil. But the truth is, the Ribbono Shel Olam is preparing the seeds for the future. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is bringing the greatest bracha to the world. And we have to hold on tight in the last moments, in the final moments, in the darkest moments before dawn. So we should be zeichet to see the light. But the way for us to hold on now, and the way for us to see some of the light, even when we're in the dark tunnel, and to be able to see positive things within the situation that we're experiencing today, and how it's leading to a brighter future, that's only through Torah. As the Chofetz Chaim used to always say, any situation that we find ourselves in, individually or collectively, even things that affect the whole world, we can always find the eights in the Torah. His great Talmud, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik B'Kodesh Lebracha, Hashem Yikom Damoy, who was killed in the Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Rabim in the Second World War, he writes that before the coming of Mashiach, so many things are going to be happening. So many difficult situations that people are going to be confused. People are going to be panicking. But he says that's only until a person looks in the Torah. But once a person looks inside the Torah, everything becomes clear. Things becomes understood. And instead of it looking like a dark period, instead of being confused, we can get clarity. On the level, as he refers to, as the Spaklari Amihira, the level that Moshe Rabbeinu was privileged to see and to understand when he had revelations from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we too today, through the Torah, are privileged. We just have to find it and look for it and see where the Torah, where the Psukim, where Chazal taught us these things. And then we could see things with clarity. And when we see it from the Torah, besides from the Torah, is the Torah of Emes. And the Torah tells us the true perspective of what's going on. And besides for the fact, like we explained, the Torah connects the dots and puts the whole situation from all angles into perspective. And we can understand all the pieces of the puzzle. But this gives us a tremendous chizuk in Amunah and Torah, a tremendous appreciation for Torah. And it gives us a tremendous chizuk in Amunah and Bitachon in general. Because when we see that the Torah, which was written before Briyas HaOlam, and the Divrei Chazal, which were written thousands of years ago, which were given over thousands of years ago, referred to our situation today in detail. And everything that they said has came to be. And we see everything unfolding in front of us. This gives us such a tremendous appreciation of what Torah is, of what Seichel HaLikim is, what the emes of Torah is, And he gives us an appreciation how much the Ribbono Shel Olam cares for us. That the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Avos HaKadoshim and Chazal HaKadoshim throughout all the generations, we're so concerned and we're so full of thought of us, people living at the end of time, in Achris HaYomim, before the time of Mashiach, what we're going to be going through. And they cared and bothered to give over to us these ideas and explain to us what's going to happen and what we're supposed to be doing about it. Now, of course, in the short time that we're spending together, it's impossible to go through all the psukim and all the divrei chazal, which pertain to the general time period that we're in and the specific situation that we're confronted with now. But just to give over an idea of a few points which could give some light and some understanding as to what we're experiencing now and to the greatness of Torah and the greatness of the words of Chazal. There are just a few thoughts that I'll try and share with you. In general, it's very important to understand that when we're talking about Geula, or we're talking about Mechemes Goyg u'Magog, which everyone has their mind on that now, it's not something which happens from one second to the next. Although the final moment is Pisem Yovel Lecholi, like the Novi tells us over there in Malachi, and from one second to the next, as we speak, Mashiach could reveal himself, and hopefully he will. But there's a process of Geula, and there's a process of Mechemes Goyg u'Magog. And this is something which unfolds over years and years. As we mentioned, Chazal discussed the concept of Mashiach, that Ribbono Shel Olam was focused on it, and then doing preparations in the world even before Bria's Olam. And from the onset of Sheshit Mei Bereishis and the Psukim of Haaretz, Oisesoyu V'voyu V'choy Sher Al Pnei Ta'oim, Chazal already allude to the four Goliaths and to the situation that we're having today with Yishmael, and to the coming of Mashiach. And as we mentioned before, the Medrash in Parshas Vayeshev, when it's talking about Yosef and his brothers, and Yehuda and Tamar, the Ribbono Shel Olam says they're busy with the Shvatim and Yosef. Yehuda's busy with Tamar, and I'm busy creating the light of Mashiach. And the Chazal already tell us that the last 2,000 years are called the Moed of Mashiach. And throughout these 2,000 years, there's been many situations which were times the Mashiach could have come, and there were times even the Mashiach was meant to come, which is a long discussion. We can't go into all the details now. But as the Zohar tells us, there's Kitzim in every generation. Every generation has not just appropriate times, but as times the Mashiach was meant to come, if we would have been worthy, if we would have gained by Mashiach coming at that time. But as we get closer and closer to the time of the Geula, the Ribbono Shel Olam put more things into place in order for the world to be ready for the Geula. For example, the reason why there's such an abundance of Chochmah and Torah today in the world, the Zohar tells us that from the year Tov Resh and Aleph Hashishi, which is approximately 184 years ago, Chochmah is going to come down to the world, and many of the secrets of Torah are going to be revealed to the world. And as the Shlach HaKadosh and the Kadmonim explain, this is the reason why the Zohar HaKadosh was hidden for over 1,000 years, because at that time it wasn't the appropriate time yet for the Geula. But as the world gets closer to the time of the Geula, Ribbono Shel Olam reveals to the world more Chochmah, more Torah, in order that we should prepare ourselves for the Geula. And the Ribbono Shel Olam arranged all different things in the world in terms of the different malchus that are ruling and the malchus that went down, that went under. Yishmael, as we know them today, isn't a malchus. Yishmael lost their malchus already over 100 years ago when the Ottoman Empire went down right after the time of World War I. And that's because, as the Goyim Reb Chaim Vital explained, Shivan Malchus is based on Esav and Yishmael together. And as long as both of them serve as Malachim, they both were kings, they both were leaders, then the Golis was made up of Sheba Malchus too. Once Yishmael lost their right and the leadership as Malachim, as kings, that was a weakening in the whole concept of Sheba Malchus, which was again a preparation for the Gula. But as a result of that, Yishmael changed his position in the world, and instead of being a Melech, he became a Pere Odim as we know them today. And Rachman al Itzlan, we're experiencing for them from them today. A Pere Odom, his essence is an animal. As long as they were kings, somewhat they were curbed. Because a Melech has a job, a Melech has a responsibility. And as the Mishnah says, if not for the fact that people were afraid of law and order, that people were afraid that they have to answer to somebody, then they have a responsibility. They would swallow each other up. But what does Yishmael do? As the Pasuk tells us in Tilim Kuf Kav Dalit, and as the Chaim Vital elaborates on those psukim, Yishmael looks to swallow people up, tries to swallow people up. But as long as they were malachim, as long as they were kings, they weren't able to do that on the same level that they do now. But because we weren't zoicha to the gula at that point, and we went into the last part of the Golis, which is the situation that we find ourselves today in Eretz Yisroel, living in close proximity to Yishmael. And Yishmael spread themselves out all over the whole world. Like the Pasuk tells us, they have the ability to swallow people up literally and to act like the Pere Adam, which they're so known from. But because Gula is a process, and Melchemes Gog Magog is a process, there's been many things that are happening in the world in recent years, which are all part of this process. For example, the coronavirus. Everyone was talking about Mashiach at that time. And many people think that since Mashiach didn't come then, who says he's going to come now? So besides for the chiyuv to believe in Mashiach, and that chiyuv existed in all of history, and we have to say, we have to believe with every fiber of our body. And besides for the fact that every day in Golis is a day closer to Mashiach. But besides for all the Mekoris in Chazal, in the Medrashim, and different things which are pointed out at that time, which still remain true. But there's something which is important to understand what happened then and what's happening now. The Ramak, who wrote the Sefer, the famous Sefer that wrote the Talmud Devarim, has a Sefer, Or Yoker, which he wrote on the Zohar HaKadosh. And the Ramak in Parshas Truma quotes a Zohar, but the Zohar says that before the coming of the Gula, there's going to be different windows, as the Zohar refers to, that are opened up. These windows are an expression, like we explained, of getting closer to the light, opening up the door, so to speak, for Mashiach. And the Zohar says there's going to be six windows, six chaloinus, which are opened, one after the other, prior to the coming of Mashiach. And the seventh window, that's the Or Chodesh Al Tzia in Toyev, and Iske Chulonu Meir Lohir, the Zohar says. The sixth window, says the Zohar, is a time where the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give permission, so to speak, to a star to rule over the world. And as a result of that, there's going to be much suffering in the world. And Klal Yisrael are also going to suffer. And then the Zohar says, from that suffering is going to open up the last window, the final window, and we're going to see the light of the Gula. Comes along the Ramak and he asks a simple question on the Zohar. He says, it's a tema, it's a wonder. How could the Zohar say that a star has control over the world? We know the Ribbono Shel Olam is the only one that controls the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the one that governs everything that happens. So how could a star have an impression on what happens in the world? And this Ramak answers three answers. The Ramak says in the first answer, that's true, generally, a star has no control. But when Klal Yisrael are in Golis and they're living under the jurisdiction of the nations, being that they're governed by the nations, Those that govern the nations have an effect also on Klal Yisrael, because that's part of the essence of Golus, being that we're governed by the nations and they're ruling over us, so to speak. Part of that is part of that suffering, and there's the result of that, being that the nations are affected by stars, they are affected by other powers that Ribbono Shel Olam put into the world, so to speak, that can have an effect, and Yidden are living amongst them. But the remark says, even according to this teretz, that means that it will only have an effect on Yidden and Chutz Lo'aretz. But Yidden living in Eretz Yisrael, where Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Hashem Hashem Alekecha Bo, Eretz Yisrael is privileged to have a special hashkacha from the Ribbono Shel Olam b'chvoid v'atzmoy. It wasn't given over to any sorim. It wasn't given any over to any servants of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak. Anyone in between. They were governed by Hashem himself. And the second answer, the Ramak says, that's true, generally, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give any control to a star. But he says, a short time, Zman Ma, before the Gula, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to allow the star to have a shlita, to have a control, even in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, the purpose for this is twofold. He says, firstly, the star is going to cause sicknesses to come down to the world. And when these sicknesses come down to the world, one person is going to get infected from the other. And many people are going to get sick. And he says this has a twofold purpose. Primarily, the purpose is to get rid of Umas HaOlam, to punish Umas HaOlam. It's one of the methods the Ribbono Shel Olam uses to punish Umas HaOlam. And the truth is, when the coronavirus started, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzaddik B'Kodesh Livracha, showed a Tesefta in the second parak in Tainis, that the Tesefta said that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to make a Mageifa and Achas HaYomim before the coming of Mashiach to punish the nations. Which means that although the final punishments and the Eish, the Mayim, the Dever, all the things that the Navi talks about are going to be most pronounced when Mashiach comes. And that's when I'm going to see everything happening in full blast. But again, the Ribbono Shel Olam puts certain things into the making, so to speak. Certain preparations even before the Gula. And the Ribbono Shel Olam uses different methods that he's going to use, L'asa Lova, even now, to start the process going, so to speak, and to punish the Umas. And one of the methods, says the Ramak, based on the Zohar, is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to allow sickness to come down to the world, and it's going to infect many people. One person is going to get infected by the other, and the first part of it, he says, is meant to be a punishment for Umas HaOlam, to get rid of the Umas. But at the same time, he says, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to do this to be Mo'ir Klal Yisrael, to wake us up in order that we do tshuva and we're zoicha to the Gula. Which means as follows. If the Ribbono Shel Olam would only punish Umas HaOlam, then it wouldn't have any effect on us. It would be like every time there's an earthquake that happens in some faraway country, or there's some attack that happens in some faraway country, like happened at Shmini Atzeres itself in another country that killed many people. And no one's even talking about, no one's thinking about it. Because it doesn't interest us and it doesn't interest anyone else. Even though we should be thinking about it. And even Goyim, we're supposed to have Rachmanis on to a certain level. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Ma'isi Yodim Toyim Bayam. But the fact is, it doesn't speak to us much. But because Yidden were also affected, many good Yidden were affected, many great Yidden were nifter, became sick as a result of the situation, it's meant to be a wake-up call for us to realize the Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking to us, and he means us. He means those that understand his language, that understand the way he communicates when we're still in Golis. And he communicates through sending different things to the world to wake us up, to give us a wake-up call, to give us a love tap, that we should realize that he's still with us and he expects something from us and he wants to take us back home. So even though in the same situation, it looks like it's one situation of tzara, one situation of midas adin, one situation which people might refer to as a charein af, it's not true. For the Umas HaOlam, the Ribbono Shel Olam is expressing midas adin and he's punishing them. But in the same situation, the Ribbono Shel Olam affects Klal Yisrael for a total different reason. And that's to be Ma'iros, that's to draw us closer, to give us an opportunity to be Zoicha to the Gula. In the third pshat, the Ramak says that true, the star won't have any effect on Yidden, possibly not even in Golis. But as a result of the star ruling over the world, it's going to cause a lot of tension in the world. It's going to cause a lot of antagonizing between the nations. It's going to cause the Ummah Sa'ilam to fight with each other. And whenever the Ummah Sa'ilam are at unrest, and whenever they're fighting with each other, Klal Yisrael somehow gets stuck in the middle. And as a result of them fighting with each other, they're going to also hurt Klal Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan. But this is all, says the Ramak, a preparation for the Gula, and a way, and the week to be Zoichet to the Gula. Now, the Ramak wasn't writing three different pshatim and one question. He's saying pshat in the Zohar, he's not saying three different pshatim. But the Ramak is writing three stages of what the Ribbono Shel Olam does to bring us to the final light. And each stage is another stage to bring us closer. And like we said before, had we been Zoichet to the Gula earlier in time, it wouldn't have been necessary to go through the whole part of Golis that we're experiencing today with Yishmael. It wouldn't be necessary to go through all the different stories that we're going through now. But being that we weren't Zoichet yet, the best thing for us, those that Ribbono Shel Olam wants to give us the schus to be Zoichet to Gula, those that have the schus to live in this generation, we didn't do anything to earn to be living in this generation. But the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam put us in this generation means that the Ribbono Shel Olam has faith in us, and the Ribbono Shel Olam has confidence in us that we could do it. And that we're the ones that are able to be Zoichet to Gula. We're the ones that are able to pull through all the difficult times and come out strong. And even if we're not as great as previous generations, this in itself, that we remain strong and we're able to stand up to all the tests and all the difficulties and all the tsaros they're experiencing now, is our key to the Gula and the way we're going to be Zoichet. So even within this situation, if we take a look at what happened the last few years, when the coronavirus started, it first attacked other countries, not Eretz Yisrael. And like the Ramak says, because Eretz Yisrael is protected by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and when sicknesses come to the world, it shouldn't affect Yidden, it shouldn't affect people living in Eretz Yisrael if it's not necessary. And the Ribbono Shel Olam taka sent it first to Chutz Lorets. But if that's not enough, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to bring it to Eretz Yisrael too. Not because of the weakening or lessening of Ashkocha Chas V'Sholem, but because the Ribbono Shel Olam sees that it's necessary, that we need a wake-up call here, and we need to be woken up and realize the times we're living in and the obligation we have in these times. And there was the service that came at that time, the tefillahs that came at that time, the tikkunim that were done at that time, and the different things that kabbalists, the people made. And none of those things went to waste. All those helped and are still helping in bringing the Gula closer. But obviously, if we weren't zoichet to the Gula yet, there's still more for us to do. And therefore, today we stand by the third pshat of the Ramak. We stand in the situation where the Ummah Sa'ilam have been fighting with each other already for a number of years. There's been wars all over the world. And that each country thinks that they only deserve recognition when they can threaten the world to take down and destroy the whole world. And every country thinks that they only gain fame when they become the greatest mushkhasim and they have nuclear power and they're able to fight and destroy the world. This didn't start with Eretz Yisrael. This started all over the world. But once there's wars all over, and as we know, even wars are all b'shvil Yisrael, and everything means us. In the end, it ends up that we're in the middle, and they're fighting against us. But the Ribbono Shel Olam does this for one reason, to be ma'ir us, to realize what he wants in us, to realize what he has in mind for us, to realize what he's looking for. Within the particular situation that we're experiencing now with Yishmael, besides for all the words of Chazal, and particularly in the Zohar, that we see all over the discussions about Golus Yishmael, and particularly the situation that we're going to be in before the Gula. And again, We see prophetic words from the Ramah. The Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Vayera describes the milchamos that are going to take place before the coming of Mashiach. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that Yishmael is going to be the one who arouses all the nations to come and fight against the Eden. And at that time, it's going to be an Eitzori Liyakov, Mimeni Yivashea. At that time, we're going to be in a tremendous Eitzori, but we're going to be saved from this Eitzori. Says the Ramak, why is Yishmael going to come and fight against the Eden? The Ramak says that because Eden made a Malchus in Eretz Yisrael, that's going to upset Yishmael, and as a result of that, they're going to come and fight against the Eden. Which means that the Ramak already foresaw and said already close to 500 years ago that what's going to get Yishmael upset, so to speak, is the fact that he didn't have a Malchus in Eretz Yisrael before the Gula. We're going to have a Malchus in Eretz Yisrael, and Be'ez Hashem, it's going to be soon. But the concept of having a secular Malchus in Eretz Yisrael before the Gula, said the Ramak, is something which is going to upset Yishmael, it's going to arouse them to make Muhammad and to come and fight against the Eden. And this is something which is brought out in the Agadish Rabbah Barachana, the Nesivis has a Pshat, an unbelievable prophetic Pshat in the Gemara there. The Gemara gives a Machal over there. All the words of the Gemara, the words of Chazal there, are so deep. But Chazal say many Misholim over there, which pertain to our time period. And one of the Misholim that Chazal give over there is that someone was traveling in a boat, and he saw that there was a group of people on the island, and they started cooking, they started baking, they started becoming very comfortable. And when the barbecue became burning hot, suddenly the whole island picked itself up and flipped over. And when the Nesivis explains what was really going on, this we've already seen the Gemara itself, that this wasn't an island, it was a fish. It was a large fish. And the people that were traveling didn't realize there was a fish. And they went on top of the fish. And while they were just sitting there doing nothing, the fish was able to tolerate it. But as soon as the heat got too hot for the fish, it flipped over and flipped everyone into the water. And if not for the boat that was passing by, they all would have drowned. Says the Nesivis, this is a reference to Klal Yisrael before the coming of Mashiach. That he says people are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael like we see today. And there are people that are going to get too comfortable. Now, too comfortable doesn't mean to come to a breakfast when you're going to learn afterwards. And you're coming to learn and to be the Sawyer. But too comfortable means when people think that they can be Poyer Ko Rachman El Itzlan, that they can come to Eretz Yisrael and instead of using Eretz Yisrael as a catalyst for growth, as a catalyst to become closer to Hashem, as a catalyst to become closer to Torah, they can use it for just the opposite and to make a secular state and to do whatever they want, whatever their hearts pull them in the wrong direction. And as a result of that, the Umitzahoyim that are living in Eretz Yisrael, says the Nesivis, are going to be upset by that. And he says they're going to flip over the people that are living there, Rachman El Itzlan. And he says, if not for the boat being so close, which is a reference to the Gula, the Rachman El Itzlan, everyone would drown. But being that the boat is near, being that we have the way to be saved, we have the Gula so near, that's going to be the end result, and that's how we're going to be saved. So we see already from the Zohar HaKadosh and from the words of Rabbi Baruch Hanna and the way the Mefarshim explained the Ramak and the Nesivis that they foresaw the situation that we're in today. But the truth is, if we want to understand, like the Rosh Hashiva said before, what our response is meant to be, and how we're supposed to strengthen ourselves now. There's two points I just want to mention in short. Number one, as we started out, the whole purpose of creation is to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. That was the purpose of Adam HaRishon, and as the Ramchal explains, if Adam HaRishon would have recognized Hashem and wouldn't have done the chet of the Eitz Hadas, he would have remained dedicated to Hashem fully. And his level, of course, then the Gula would have come right away. We wouldn't have had to go through all the gullies that we're going through. But because we didn't As a result of that, we have to go through all the tzoras, we have to go through all the galus to come back to the situation of recognizing Hashem and Hashem only. There was one time in history that we came back to that recognition of Yichud Hashem, to the level that we're supposed to recognize Hashem, and we're going to be privileged too soon. Like we say always in Musaf and Shabbos. And that was at the time of Matan Torah. Matan Torah ata reis ladas ki Hashem ulikim heina muvadoi. By Matan Torah, the Ribbono Shel Olam opened up all the sky, so to speak, and showed and displayed clearly that He's the only one. He's the one that controls everything. He's the one behind everything. He's the one that decides everything. And everything comes from Him and from nothing else. But at that time, during that Maimid, there were Koilis of Brokim, which literally means there was lightning, there was thunder, there was a tremendous commotion. But the Vilna Goyen explains that there was a deeper meaning and something much deeper happening at the time of the Koilis of Brokim of Maimid Har Sinai. And he said, the Koilis of Brokim of Maimid Har Sinai, those fires, those noises, are expression to Esav and Yishmael. The expression to the suffering that we experienced throughout Golis of Esav and Yishmael. All the heart of the face, all the burning of people, Rachman el Itzlan, all the killing of people, and all the Koilis of Yishmael, the tremendous fear that they instill in society, with all the threats and with all the things that they send, all the hit and miss. All that makes a tremendous amount of pachan and commotion. But there's a purpose in it. And the Ribbono Shel Olam showed it to Klal Yisrael at the time of Maimon Har Sinai. And the purpose is, says the Goyen, that the Ribbono Shel Olam planted the seeds to get us out of Golis already at that time. And the Ribbono Shel Olam saw the possibility that Klal Yisrael won't retain the level of Ata Reisa Ladas Ki Hashem Ulekim Einam Avadon. They might fall from their recognition of Hashem. They might become confused once again. And now see Hashem clearly, with crystal clarity, like they saw at the time of Maimon Har Sinai. And because of that, the Ribbono Shel Olam implanted in Maimon Har Sinai the potential for us to come back to that recognition. And the way we come back to that recognition is through the Tzoras of Esav and Yishmael. And the Goyen quotes the words of the Rambam, which were left out for many years, for hundreds of years, because of the censor. That the Rambam says that the whole purpose of Christianity and Islam in the world is to pave the way for Melech HaMashiach. Because the Rambam explains, although they distorted in their approach to Torah, in their approach to mitzvahs, in their approach to Mashiach, in their approach to Emunah and the Ribbono Shel Olam, they have tremendous amounts of distortion, each one in their level, which is a topic in itself. But being that they provide the world with these concepts, they spread in the world the concepts of that there's a God, and that in any level that they do believe, They spread to the world the concepts of Torah and mitzvahs. That makes the world familiar with such concepts. And when Mashiach comes, the truth will shine forth and people will be able to relate to the truth of Torah and mitzvahs and Mashiach and the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the Goyen has an extra thing which he learns into the words of the Rambam. And he says that it's not only their belief that helps pave the way for Mashiach, but it's also the tzoras that they bring us. The tzoras that Esav and Yishmael do are meant to bring us to the recognition of Yichud Hashem. Because when we suffer, we have to think. Like it says, B'tzayel lechum b'tzucha kol roi yisrael b'achas hayom v'shavtel Hashem alekecha. The Ran says, what's the greatness of doing tshuva when we're in a tzorah? And we find all over that there's going to be tzoras in achas hayomim. The Ran himself is talking about the middle of the Black Plague, which lasted 13 years in his time. And he says, people started doing tshuva. He says, what's great about doing tshuva when they're doing tshuva because they're going through a plague? And the Ran explains that the greatness is because when a person goes through a difficult time and a person thinks and he contemplates his life and he thinks about what's really going on, he starts thinking about what's important in life. And he realizes what's important is to be dedicated to Hashem, to be dedicated to the Torah, to be dedicated to mitzvahs. And how many Bali Tshuva do we see today on so many different levels? And from the situation that we're in today, how many people which didn't embrace Yiddishkeit, which didn't recognize Hashem up until Simchas Torah, and now recognize Hashem and doing things on their level, keeping Shabbos, wearing tzitzis, wearing tefillin, whatever they're doing, And each and every one of us who's already a growing person, how much closer do we feel to Hashem from the Torah? Because the Torah shows us Hashem's existence. The Torah shows that Hashem cares for us and he's looking for us to come closer. Like we mentioned in the Ramak, when the Ribbono Shel Olam punishes Yidden, it's not to punish them. It's to draw them closer. It's to give them opportunities. It's to give them a catalyst for growth that we should be able to recognize that Hashem's behind it, that Hashem is the one that's bringing this onto us. He's the one that's causing it. Through all the confusion, through all the distortion that we may be influenced from the world at large, from those that don't want to recognize Hashem, from those that want to put a finger on everything and blame it on cause and effect and blame it on that's man-made and it's people's agendas. At the end of the day, we have the ability and the chiyuv to see through clearly that it's all coming from Hashem. And realize that Hashem Echad Ushmoy Echad, realize that Hashem is behind it and he's causing it. And Hashem sent us B'davka for this purpose because the Ibn Hashem wants us to recognize him and wants us to give us the opportunity to come to this recognition that we should be the ones that are Zaychni Makabo Pnei Mashiach. But I just want to conclude with the famous words that became famous recently from the Pirkei de Rablezer, which in these words, there's so much chizuk and so much direction for what we're experiencing today. The Pirkei de Rablezer in Perek Lamed Beis says that there were six people which got their name before they were born. One of them is Klal Yisrael Yisrael, and one of them is Lahavdil Yishmael. Says the Pirkei de Rablezer, why did Ribbono Shel Olam give Yishmael the name Yishmael? How did Avram Avinu, and why did Avram Avinu? Why was he mechavan to the name Yishmael? Says the Pirkei de Rablezer, she'osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishmoyah b'kol nachas ha'om mima she'yasu bonav l'bnei Yisrael b'eretz Yisrael b'achris ha'yomim. So we have to think for a moment. The Pirkei de Rablezer is questioning why Hashem gave Yishmoel the name Yishmoel. And the Pirkei de Rablezer is giving an answer. You know why he's called Yishmoel? He's called Yishmoel because Hashem is going to listen to our outcry from what Yishmoel is going to do to Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael in Achris Hayamim. Firstly, at the time when Hashem gave him the name Yishmoel, when Avram Avinu thought of the name Yishmoel, there was no Klal Yisrael and there was no potential for Klal Yisrael. It was before Asar was in Akara. It was before Yitzhak Avinu was born. It was thousands of years before Klal Yisrael. It was way before there was Shvatim in the world. There was no Yitzchak, there was no Yaakov, there was no Shiftei Kor. There was no Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu was living in Eretz Canaan. There was no concept of Achris Hayom because there was no Golis yet. And there definitely wasn't a Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael in Achris Hayomim living alongside with Yishmoel. And comes along the Pirkei de Rablezer and he says, you know why Hashem called him Yishmoel? Because in the future, there's going to be an Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be a Klal Yisrael. They're going to be living in Eretz Yisrael. They're going to be living there in Achris Hayomim. And they're going to have the possibility of being attacked by Yishmoel. And at that point, they're going to have an outcry. And Hashem is going to listen to us and we're going to be zoicha to the Gula. So we have to see, first of all, like you mentioned in the beginning, how the words of the Chazal, the words of the Torah HaKadosha, are unbelievable how thousands of years ago, we're talking about over 4,000 years ago, was written the script of what's going to take place today in Tavshin Pei Dalet. That there's going to be a cloudy, so there's going to be an Eretz Yisrael. We're going to be in a situation of Achris Hayomim living alongside Yishmoel, and Yishmoel is going to attack us. But on top of that, we see how the Ribbono Shel Olam skipped over all the generations, so to speak, all the crusades, all the things that Klal Yisrael went through throughout Golis, all the over 100 times that Klal Yisrael was attacked from Yishmoel throughout Golis. And Hashem was thinking about one generation. Us, Klal Yisrael, who are living in Eretz Yisrael, in Achris Hayomim, and what we're going to suffer from Yishmoel. And Hashem gave him a name for that reason and didn't call him on anything else that's going to happen in history. That's what's happening for us today in Eretz Yisrael when Klal Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael, Achris Hayomim, and we're attacked from Yishmoel. It's unbelievable if we think about how much Hashem loves us and cares for us. That's who he was thinking about then. And that's who he cared for then. And that's who he was mindful of then. skipping over all the generations and all the everything, all history up until today. But what's most important, or at least equally important, after we understand the Amunah B'Hashem and the Amunah in Torah, and the chizuk that we have from Hashkachas Hashem, and the chizuk we have from Hashem loving us and believing in us, that the Pirkei de Blezer, if we were looking for a name Yishmol, we would have called him a para-adam. We'd call him a terrible person. We'd call him somebody who kills people, who tortures people, any name we would think of besides for Yishmakel. But even though the Torah defines him as a para-adam, as a wild animal, and that's his description, and that's his essence. But when Hashem and Avraham Avinu give him a name, they didn't bring that out, and they didn't call him by that name. Why? A name shows who the essence of a person is. A name is something which comes Beruach HaKodesh, and it's defined from the neshama of the person. So what Chazal are teaching us is a very important lesson. True Yishmol is a para adam, and true Shchalas Klal Yisrael is going to suffer terribly from Yishmol in Eretz Yisrael Ba'achas Hayamim. But the purpose of Yishmol, the essence of Yishmol in this world, at least what's Negei us Klal Yisrael, is we have to know one thing, Yishmakel V'yanim. We have to know that the Ribbono Shel Olam sends us Yishmol because he wants to listen to us, because he wants to hear us, because he wants us to cry out to him, because he wants us to scream to him, like the Pirkei de Blezer says. And Reb Chaim Vital adds even stronger when he quotes this Medrash, Al Shasidim Litzak Tzaokis Gedoilis B'yomav V'oz Yishmakel V'yanim, which means that when we're confronted with Yishmol and we see how harsh Yishmol is and what they're capable of doing and what Rachmana Litzlan they could do endless things Al Piderech HaTeva if the Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't protect us. And within this situation, we see how much Hashem is protecting us. How many times they tried, how many plans they had that are foiled, how many things they threw and weren't successful, and how they're standing in all borders of Eretz Yisrael and all over the world and beloved to do what they would want to do, what they could do best, and what they're prepared to die for, and they're not doing it. Only for one reason, because Hashem's giving us a chance, and that's our opportunity, and that's our chiyuv now. But Hashem didn't call him a name which refers to the Tzoris, because the point is not the Tzoris. Hashem is Avinu Avarachmon. Hamarachim Rachim Aleinu. Hashem loves us much more than we can imagine. Hashem loves us much more than any flesh of blood could love us. The Chavos Avovis says the whole source of love in the world, the whole source of pity in the world comes from Hashem. And whatever comes from Hashem, it's Ein Soif, it's without a gvul. Hashem's love has no boundaries. His Rachmanis has no boundaries. And whatever he does to us, even when it seems painful, even when it looks painful, is being done out of love, is being done out of pity. Because the greatest love and the greatest pity is to give us an opportunity to be zoicha to the gula. And the fact is, we don't have time to go into, but the Zohar says mefurish. The Tikkuni Zohar, that all the tzoros that we go through, Chavli Mashiach, are called rachmim gedoilim, because it's through this rachmanis that akabtze. It's through this rachmanis that the masses are going to be zoicha to the gula, not only the individual tzaddikim. Because it's possible the Gula could come, like it almost came in the times of the Ramchal, and only his Talmidim would have been Zoyche. But the Ramchal told that he doesn't want Mashiach to come then, because he wants all Klal Yisrael to be Zoyche to the Gula. He wants everyone to have an opportunity. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam sends us Atzora, when the Ribbono Shel Olam sends us difficult situations, it's a way of Hashem calling out to us and begging us to do what we're supposed to turn to him, to do what we're meant to be doing in this situation, that through the situation, instead of it being a tzara, instead of being a situation of shibud, instead of being a situation of shvuyim, Rachmana Litzlan, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants that we should go mishibud legula, and akeinu kol beis yisrael nesunu matzara v'ashivya, ha'im nim ben b'yom ben b'abash, ha'mokim rachim aleim, v'etziyim mitzara l'bocha, u'ma'afer lo'yim mishibud legula. But this is our chance, and this is our chiyuv. When the Ribbono Shel Olam sends us Yishmol, he's not sending us the para adam because we should realize the para adam. It's true that we realize that, and we acknowledge that the Torah foresaw it. But the Ribbono Shel Olam sending it for one reason, Yishmakel V'yanim, that we should recognize Hashem. And the greatest way to recognize Hashem is through tefillah. And the greatest display of that we recognize Hashem when we realize we have to turn to him is through tefillah. Because when we turn to Hashem, it shows that we have bitachon b'Hashem. It shows that we realize Hashem is the only one that can help us. Hashem is our true security, and the only one we can rely on is Hashem. With all this is things that we have to come to in order we should be zayich to the gula. And we see how the Ribbono Shel Olam set up the whole situation, just like we left Mitzrayim, but there is no way out. From all sides, we're surrounded. And we can't convince ourselves, we can't fool ourselves that anyone can save us, because everyone knows the truth, that there is no way to be saved. There's only one way to be saved, and that's to be mechazik ourselves, to be mechazik each other. We're coming to learn another Seder. We're coming to do another mitzvah, to do another act of chesed. From recognizing Hashem, from davening to Hashem, from relying on Hashem, and beis Hashem, through that we'll be zoicha to be saved from all the tzoris. And everyone who's shori b'tzar will come out of their tzar. And everyone who was lost will come back, beis Hashem b'korif, and will be zoicha to v'hoi Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'oretz, v'yoyim ha'uyi Hashem echod u'shmei echod.